full of cinematic garbage. One man will be your filter. Welcome to Movies Worth Seeing with your host, Michael Piccinieri.
Hey everyone, and welcome to another episode. Let's get straight into it. What happens when you suck the fun out of one of the funniest characters in Pixar's lineup? Well, you get Lightyear, the latest spin-off of a beloved intellectual property that Disney owns, where, as per usual, Disney has to beat the living out of that horse until it is dead, until people don't care about it, until people do not like it at all, until the sheer mention of the character's name just brings disdain and groans and cringe. Look, this film isn't that bad. All right, let's get into Lightyear. So, Lightyear is the latest spin-off, as I said, yet another example of Disney just pulling out existing properties rather than creating new ones, which I don't really understand with Pixar because they're usually pretty good at creating new stuff. Like even Turning Red, I reviewed that film and I loved that film. I thought that film was great. There were some things similar to this where I was like a bit concerned as far as like from a parent's perspective. But being that I'm not a parent, all I can really do is briefly mention kind of thoughts and things that popped up when I mentioned what kind of occurs in this movie. But I'll get into that a little bit later. It does bring up a good point, though. You've probably noticed that this film has been overshadowed, I feel, by the controversy of two female characters have a peck. And it's one of those things like, so Disney took this out. So they knew this was going to piss off people. They took it out and then they decided to put it back in. So they were wrestling with it, but they knew that it didn't really need to be in there as far as the story goes. It doesn't do anything. It doesn't contribute anything. But then they kind of doubled down, I think, because maybe they pissed off that community. And maybe just to like win them over again, they were like, oh, here guys, here's our checklist of diversity and look at us, look at how great we're doing. I feel it's best to address it right away and be like, obviously from my perspective, you know, I don't care, but it is weird to like see it in a theater when there's like 5-year-olds and stuff. I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, that's going to be a fun conversation home. It's going to be some fun questions. Like, what? But that character said that they have a dad, but then that lady was a mom. I'm like, oh man, I'm so glad I'm not a parent. Anyway, but that brings up a question of why is that the only thing really being talked about with this film? And that's because that's the only thing that makes this film stand out. When you look at Pixar's library, this film is not going to stand out. For me, like this film is above Cars and all the Cars sequels and crap, but that's not really saying a lot. Soul was a film that I kind of watched and forgot. So I'd put it in that category of like, oh, this could have just been put straight up on Disney Plus, which I also don't understand. Some films, they get put up straight away, put onto Disney Plus or part of their subscription, their extra purchasing kind of system. I remember reviewing Cruella and noticing, oh, if you wanted to get that film early, you had to pay extra. I think this was not a film that was worth going to the theater for. The only reason I watched this was because I had a whole bunch of vouchers from the pandemic, from the lockdowns and stuff, because in New South Wales, they've given us a bunch of like vouchers to go out and eat, to go to cinemas. So I used that on this film because I knew that it wasn't getting good reviews. And then on Jurassic World Dominion, which is another film that I'm not looking forward to watching and reviewing. Yeah, it's such a shame. It's such a shame too, because I'm such a massive fan of Toy Story. Like Toy Story is one of those franchises where every sequel is so good. It's like the most consistent franchise four movies and all four of them are awesome. None of them are like really bad. But this, it's like the plot. While spending years attempting to return home, Maroon Space Ranger Buzz Lightyear encounters an army of ruthless robots commanded by Zurg who are attempting to steal his fuel source. I'm glad I'm reading it off IMDb because honestly, if you asked me what the premise was of this movie, I would not be able to give you a clear answer. It involves hyperspace, traveling through time, and it's interesting as well because it doesn't handle those things very well or explain them well enough that like adults are going to understand it and kids. I was having trouble understanding it and I'm 27. I think the overall problem with the film is its themes and messages are so done to death when compared to films like Turning Red that I mentioned. Turning Red dealt with generational trauma, issues with adolescence. This film, it's like, learn to work with people and cooperate, work as a team. And the film tackles those big issues with the subtlety of a Saturday morning cartoon. Yeah, Lightyear just tackles the most mundane and overplayed cliches. And the dialogue that it uses to set those issues up, it's so on the nose. Now, these things, this whole arc of, oh, you know, learn to stop being a solo guy, like learn to work with a team, learn to train rookies and kind of help them. I guess it kind of works with Buzz's character, like based on what we know from the character from the Toy Story films. But the message is just hammered over the head. The message hammers you over the head with this cringeworthy dialogue that drones. It causes, just every time I'd hear something, I was like, oh my God. Even kids are going to be like, I get it, film. I get what you're saying. You don't have to keep repeating it. So the main gripe with the film is it lacks an identity. It looks like an animated Christopher Nolan film, like Interstellar. In fact, when I saw the trailer, I was thinking this looks like an animated Interstellar. It's presenting itself like it's this grounded, realistic, cinematic film and totally forgets one of the key things about this spin-off is this is meant to be a film that Andy watched when he was a kid and it made him want to buy a Buzz Lightyear. So this film should be set and represent 1995. Like this was a massive missed opportunity because what it should have done was play into the 90s science fiction tropes, be more fun and vibrant. Like look at films from 1995. You had films like The Mask, like Dumb and Dumber, Ace Ventura, these very like over the top. It's no coincidence. All three films are Jim Carrey films. But the point is, this film does not look like a 1995 film, which also plays into the controversy of that stuff. I would be like, what can we do to make this look like a film from 1995 with this animation style? Let's ham it up. Ham it up. Like you can still deal with those themes, still deal with more complex themes, but you can make it more subtle while working with this more over-the-top visual aesthetic. Or, another thought, you could keep the dialogue cringy like it is right now, but play up the look of the film so it doesn't look like a Christopher Nolan film, but instead make it look like a Saturday morning cartoon, because then people will listen to the dialogue and they'll be like, well, that's about what I'd expect from a film that looks like a Saturday morning cartoon. Yeah, this film's kind of wants, have fun with the shitness of what animation looked like in 1995. Like, play around with the meta references. I was watching, there was a spin-off called Buzz Lightyear of Star Command, The Adventure Begins. It was a film released in 2000. It was a spin-off that involved Buzz Lightyear, and Tim Allen was the voice for this film. And I remember as a kid, it was super fun. Like, I look at the cartoon style, and I'm like, I would rather watch this, to be honest. And you got Tim Allen, he's playing up that fun, charismatic, kind of dope but he still takes himself really serious. That's cool to me. That's what you want. That's what they should have went for. And we didn't get that. The villain of the film, without getting into spoilers, but the villain feels they tried to make it not so much this generic over-the-top cyborg villain. They tried to play it into the themes of regret for Buzz Lightyear. And the villain almost literally represents this other viewpoint, this selfish kind of view. It represents like Buzz's kind of hubris, excessive pride, and his, I guess, lack of awareness of other people and their, yeah. So it kind of works. It's not really sticking to the continuity of things that have been set up in other films, but oh well. Anyway, as I said, this film really needs Tim Allen. I really feel like Tim Allen should be the voice of Buzz Lightyear, because Chris Evans, while he's not trying to imitate or give some kind of weird, shady impersonation to Tim Allen, he's just dull in the role. Like, you don't feel like you're getting Chris Evans at his best. Like, when I thought of Chris Evans in this movie, I was thinking, oh, if this was like Chris Evans in, I don't know, you know, Fantastic Four, those early kind of movies when he was like really fun and like charismatic. He had this kind of really comedic personality before he got into the MCU and just became serious tough guy. Like, we've seen that in films like Knives Out. We've seen that mischievous, that other side of him, that more comedic side. And I don't know, I just don't see it here. The whole time I just kept thinking to myself, like, did we really need Chris Evans to do this? And it's nothing to take away from his performance. It's just Tim Allen explodes with charisma in the voice. He knows the character. He's done the character, 4 movies, and then spin-offs on top of that. I don't understand what was wrong with him doing it. It's not like he can't do the voice or he's too old or something. It's not a physically demanding role. It's animation. And it just feels like this would have benefited. It probably would have changed the film completely tonally as well. Yeah. Tonally, this film just takes itself too serious, and it'll have these like really beautiful kind of scenic shots where it's like brooding, like it's got Buzz brooding over something, and it has all these beautiful shots, and Buzz will just be staring into the distance, and we get it. He's like, all right, Buzz is sad now. Look at this wide shot, this cool wide shot of him staring into the distance. It's like, we get it. He's sad, but it's too much, man. It reminds me of like Batman with all the freaking staring and crap. And for kids, maybe kids don't want to see that crap. They want to see action. The film is not going to be something memorable. I don't feel like I'm going to remember this film after a day or two. I'm not going to remember this film. I know that. The only thing that's probably going to stick with me is the controversy surrounding the film regarding the lesbian kiss. That's it. Yeah, I think one of the annoying things is the dialogue in the film lacks any subtext at all. That's what it is. The whole first part of the film, all you hear from Buzz, for example, is whinging about autopilots and working with rookies. He legit says, I don't like autopilots, like 10 times in the first 30 minutes. I don't like robots, rah, rah, rah. It's like, we get it. He's going to learn to work with robots by the end of the film, like bravo, and to work with other companions and train rookies. It's so on the nose that you understand exactly what the movie's going to do within the first 15 minutes. It's like a Saturday morning cartoon in that sense, which is ironic because with the dialogue, it's so lame, over the top, and heavy-handed with its messages. But then with the actual look of the film, it's trying to go for that grounded, freaking realistic adult aesthetic. But you can't have it both ways. Like, either go that route with the dialogue being cheesy and just brighten it up. Brighten up the color palette, the overall color grading, insert more action, and don't try so hard with these existential kind of themes and all the time travel crap you could get rid of. Go for a simple, fun action adventure and have Buzz take down a villain with a simple motive, right? And just use some more subtle kind of metaphors to represent bigger themes if you wanted to. Or just stick with one theme, one message that you wanted to get across. But don't tell us, for example, don't tell us a million times that Buzz Lightyear doesn't want to work with rookies. Let's just see how he interacts with rookies. Let's see him act really condescending in the opening sequence or smug or just, yeah, just have him be more through his behavior. Yeah, the dialogue like, hey, you need to let go and lead us. We can help you because you should learn to work with others. If you help us, we can help you. And oh, I was just like cringing so hard. This film also has these emotional moments where it tries to present a really sad moment and the film will come to a halt. And I wanted to care, but this movie hadn't built up enough for me to care about certain characters being in turmoil or characters getting old, things like that. I didn't care because the film didn't develop those characters enough. And you can't just tell me stuff has happened between certain characters. You have to show me so that I will care. And that's from me. So if I'm feeling that, a kid is going to be feeling that tenfold. Give me fun flashbacks, you know? Give me some flashbacks between Buzz Lightyear and his old partner to show us their relationship. Why do we have to, I don't know. There were lots of throwbacks to Toy Story though, which was nice. Some lines of dialogue, especially in the first like 5 minutes, and certain actions, you know, blocking choices, the things that Buzz did that reminded me of like Toy Story 2 when Buzz fights Zurg and stuff like that. So that stuff was cool. I liked that. As I said, Chris Evans' performance, like he gets the job done, but he's not winning any, you know, awards or anything. Like it's nothing that stands out. It lacks that fun factor that you get from Tom Hanks and Tim Allen in the Toy Story films or just overall Tim Allen. Like the uniqueness of Toy Story is what made those characters fun. This film just made me want to go back and cleanse my palate with some Toy Story. Because the voice acting and everything just, and it was so fun. It's like what made that work was the toys lacked awareness of knowing that they were a toy. It was such a fun premise. You tell people, say someone had never seen Toy Story. You would say to them, oh, Toy Story is a film where the toys don't know they're toys and they think that they're more than that. Or where a toy gets into a rivalry with another toy over his owner, over who gets played with the most. And one of the toys doesn't know that he's a toy. He actually thinks he's the character. Like, that sounds amazing. You would want to see that. If you ask me what is Lightyear, I go, oh, it's kind of like Interstellar, but animated. And the dude has to like, the dude tries to leave this planet and he tries to get his ship off of a planet. But to do so, he's got to enter hyperspace, which means he travels for, like, see what I mean? Like, I can't explain this freaking film in an interesting way because it's so overly convoluted and it's a kid's movie, man. Like, this is for kids. They're the main demographic. I don't understand why you've made it so overly complicated. It's like when you watched, kind of when I was watching, kind of felt similar with Doctor Strange where you were like, oh, this could have been so much simpler. But they made something that should have been simple way more complicated than it needed to be. So, yeah, I got lost with the plot. I didn't care about the plot. And yeah, so if that's the case, the little kids aren't going to understand what the hell's going on. And the film, especially in the first act, just rushes through exposition so quickly as if we're all going to get it and understand it right away. Like it's just throwing so much crap at you and just expecting you to be like, yep, you just sit down and enjoy it. And it's like, and then action's happening and I'm kind of like, wait, so why does he have to do that? Well, I don't. So he has to fly through three rings and come back to Earth. But every time he comes back, it's 4 years, but he keeps screwing. I was like, what? I don't. You guys did a crap job. Anyway, I had so many questions that hadn't been answered. All I know is they wanted to get off this planet. And the planet is really ugly. Again, another thing, while the film is very visually stunning, I love the animation. I love the facial expressions on the characters is beautiful. The fluidity of the movement. I hate, you know, talking negatively about the film in the visual department, but this planet is so ugly. This planet doesn't have any charm or personality about it. And it sucks because we spend the whole damn movie on this planet. We know nothing about it. We don't know its origins. We never find out any history about this planet. The natives or the insects, the bugs, the creatures on the planet, we don't find out anything about them either. They're just generic creatures. Yeah. One thing I will say, the best thing about this movie was the character Sox. This is like a robotic kitten, purely created for merchandising purposes, of course, but the one character that was pulling me through the movie. I liked that the voice actor for this robotic cat starts off very, you know, like a robot, sounds awkward and stuff. But subtly, as the movie goes on, he becomes and sounds more human as the film progressed. I liked that. I do feel, though, that like his character's been done to death. Like, this character just reminded me of the dog from Up, which had way more memorable one-liners and jokes. And that character is robotic, super awkward. The dialogue is delivered without emotion in this awkward rhythm, and it makes things really funny. For example, like when the dog from Up is like, "I love you." Like, little things like that. It's like, "Squirrel!" Just love that movie. I love Up. Such a great film. So it's nothing that hasn't been done before. And you can tell that it's merely just for toys, for merch. And that's it. Which is a real shame because honestly, like whenever this character was put in peril, I was genuinely like, no, don't kill that. You better not kill that cat. And yeah, for other people, when I was watching in the theater, they were always laughing at something to do with the cat. So the cat worked, which was great. It's a shame that it's something that's been done, but oh well. But it's also so easy to make jokes for that because it's merely just saying things without emotion. Like, oh my God, that was terrifying. I deeply regret going on this mission with you. Like, that pretty much was a line from the film. And yeah, so one of the characters I did not like was they have a side character who's kind of like a part of Buzz's crew at some point, his crew of misfits. And this character's just so dumb and so clumsy that just little things like, you know, when you see a character like resting on a wall and like they've nudged a switch and you think to yourself, how the hell did you accidentally hit a switch that was so obvious, so big? Like what? Yeah. Such a dumb character. I think it was voiced by Taika Waititi. Nothing against Taika, but he was just too stupid. And I think it comes back to identity in that if this movie had just stuck with going that route, like I said, that cheesier kind of 90s route, that character totally could have worked. But being that the film tries to present itself as this full, super stylish, like cinematic Christopher Nolan movie, it's like, oh, it really stands out having this super bumbly, clumsy as, you know, tripping over himself character who's an idiot. It doesn't work. It's not consistent tonally with the film. So, yeah. Overall, you know, Lightyear has a real lazy feeling in its writing where it creates super obvious setups just to be paid off in the most cliched and simple ways by the end of the film. The film doesn't feel like it has one clear message it wants to get across, but rather tries to juggle a bunch of different ones and handles them all poorly. It uses cliched tropes to get us to the finish line eventually. And it lacks the charm and fun of a Toy Story property, which is a shame because I feel like taking inspiration from the Buzz Lightyear spin-offs and the animated film from 2000 would have been the way to go. Having more fun with the fact that this film should have been set in the 90s would have gave the film a clear, unique identity to help it stand out. And honestly, children seemed bored at times and I don't blame them. I actually saw like a couple walk out as well, just because there's this just this lazy feeling in the writing, in the performances, in the way everything is done in such a generic kind of way. In the same way that the planet just looks like a dull kind of drone of a place. And yeah, it's a shame. But as a palate cleanser, if you have watched the film, highly recommend go back to Toy Story 1. Toy Story 4, I actually did review Toy Story 4 a couple of years ago, and I remember that movie was beautiful. Like, at the time, I felt to myself, why are they making it after Toy Story 3 was such a good ending to the whole franchise? But no, that film still pretty good, lives up. So yeah, avoid this film, go see Toy Story 4 or any of the Toy Story movies. So yeah, guys, I'm going to give Lightyear a 2.5 out of 5. Very forgettable. And I don't recommend it. I don't recommend it for kids either. If you are a parent listening to this, you can get Disney Plus and watch Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers. I've heard good things about that. Or any other old school Disney film. 90s, watch a specifically any Disney 90s films like Mulan or, yeah, Toy Story 1 back in the day. Oh, 90s Disney. Anyway, that's it for me, guys. I will catch you later. Also, just wanted to let you guys know that as of this recording, my online competition is still going. You can find links on my Instagram at Michael Pish Podcasting. So just to remind you guys, it's an online contest where you can sign up. All you got to do is put in your details and you will be in the running to win 2 free tickets to see Thor Love and Thunder in the cinemas and win a metal display poster of the film. These metal posters are really cool because you can put them up on your wall and they stick on there through a magnet. It's so cool. It's super easy to put up. It takes 2 seconds. And if you don't like it on that particular spot, super easy to move to another place. I've bought like 5 posters from this website and they are awesome posters. They look great. Such a selection. So yeah, I'm giving those away, and second prize is like a mug with Chris Hemsworth not wearing a shirt, because I know lots of people want more of that. So yeah, guys, go there and you can find the deets. And I'll be announcing the winners July 7th, which is very, very soon. So hurry, hurry, hurry. Also, I don't have a lot of followers or a big audience. So, you know, just putting it out there that if you enter the contest, there's a very, very high chance of winning. This isn't like one of those, you know, there's a million people entering it. It's like, no, you actually could win this. You can win. All right. Anyway, I'll catch you later, guys.
Thank you for listening to Movies Worth Seeing. Make sure to like and share the show and leave a review. You can follow us on Instagram at Michael Pish Podcasting and watch movie reviews, audience reaction videos, and other fun content on our YouTube channel at Michael Pishinary.